Over here and over there, and especially lately, the news has been basically soul-sucking.
Go on vacation for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Things are so f***ed up in our world that the two happiest places on Earth right now are Germany and Cleveland.
You must go on. I can't go on. I'll go on, says the narrator of a Samuel Beckett novel. It's a comically desperate, desperately comic line. Surely now is a time of desperate comedy, of comic desperation. The show must go on. The show can't go on. The show goes on.
Now, obviously, there's no way to completely escape this. But we can at least take a sadness break, featuring stories that sound like they would end violently, but don't. In our new segment, yeah, we'll take it.
Peter McGraw, co-author of The Humor Code, posits the benign violation theory of humor. A violation, he says, refers to anything that threatens one's beliefs about how the world should be, something threatening, unsettling, or wrong. But to be funny, it must somehow seem benign or safe. Violations, he says, become safer and funnier with physical distance and time. But our most emblematic comedy, as rendered by Jon Stewart, Stephen Colbert, and now John Oliver, seems in no way distant or safe.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, wait, you're not going to really do a comic take on the death penalty, right? It's your second episode. I haven't even decided if I like this show yet. Well, okay. So let's do this then. Before you turn this show off, there was a YouTube video this week of tiny hamsters eating tiny burritos. And it's as magical and as uncomplicated as you think. And if you make it to the end of this story, I promise we will watch it together. Okay? But you have to stay with us. Okay, so the death penalty.
Lord Buckley, a hipster comedian some 60 years ago, said in a bit on the H-bomb that it is the duty of the humor of any given nation in times of high crisis to attack the catastrophe that faces it in such a manner as to cause the people to laugh at it in such a manner that they do not die before they get killed. Would anyone believe Jon Stewart if he still said, which he doesn't, that he does it just for laughs?
We'll start tonight in the Middle East, where Israel...
What? Israel isn't supposed to defend itself?
Oh, yeah, if Mexico bombed Texas, will we exercise
what other countries held to the same standard as Israel?
People that want to destroy right. Our terrorism?
4,000 years
later. What is the matter with the only democracy in the Middle East, you say?
Self-hating Jew?
That was weird.
There is an increasing urgency to the comedy of Stewart, Oliver, and Colbert, an edge that no amount of potty and penis jokes can dissipate. And yet, it's still really funny. It's truly a marvelous magic trick, this seamless weaving of silliness and moral indignation. Cervantes wrote that the most difficult character in comedy is that of the fool, and he must be no simpleton that plays that part.
Think about it, folks. How can we rich trickle down prosperity to everyone else unless we have all the money first? Our cup must filleth before it runneth over. Clearly, Congress hath underestimated the size of my cuppeth.
Stephen Colbert's blowhard alter ego with his assertive idiocy and crocodile tears actually embodies our cynical, heartless politics. And he's probably the funniest.
We will have complete coverage of both of these stories on tomorrow night's show. And I'm being told we do not have a show on Friday nights. Okay. Oh, thank God. Those are really depressing stories. So let's turn to a lighter story, child refugees.
Do you know what I like about comedy, Colbert told Parade magazine? You can't laugh and be afraid at the same time, of anything. If you're laughing, I defy you to be afraid. If you're like me, you grab at the chance to laugh at the horrible. It's sweet relief to see that, in fact, the world has gone mad. But for me, that relief doesn't last long. Maybe it's a matter of character. Albert Einstein had to flee the Nazis, and yet he could still insouciantly observe that two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity. And I'm not sure about the universe. Marilyn Monroe expressed a similar view when she said, "Ever notice how what the hell is always the right answer?" But she couldn't shrug it off. I think it's funny that Peter McGraw, who cooked up the benign violation theory of humor at his University of Colorado Humor Research Lab, also co-directs its moral research lab. It could be that the only way to hold on to the laughter is to make moral choices, take moral action when the TV is off. And though they don't say that exactly, our madcap Mahatmas won't let us forget it.